And so when we get one of those emails, the news director legit will send that out to everyone and say, "Look, guys, we did such a great job."
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Malika Dudley. Here's three facts that I think you should know about her. One, she is a multi-award winning journalist, which includes two Emmy nominations, a Merle, and multiple SPJ awards, and that's the Society for
Professional Journalists.
Professional Journalists. Two, she is a communication scholar. She's not just someone who just does this. She's actually studied the science of communication. And three, even though she's deathly afraid of danger, she has been a stunt double on Hawaii Five-O, Entourage, and the movie You May Not Kiss the Bride. Malika Dudley, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here.
And Malika, it's so great to have you back again. We had a conversation earlier, a little while ago, and now we're back talking. And this time, we're going to draw more upon your journalist background, and what can business leaders, what can community leaders, what can they learn from being in the media, in particular on TV? So how can a business leader talk to the media, get into the media, become part of the news, providing commentary?
So how do you get on the news?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yeah. Other than doing something really bad,
Right. You don't want to get on the news because you were drunk driving or committed a crime or anything like that, right? So we're looking at good news. So how do we get on the news with this good news? It is pretty difficult, right? When you think about it, because if it bleeds, it leads. So you do need to, number one, just know that you're probably not going to be the lead story. And that's a good thing, right? Probably the newscast that you're going to identify and try to get on would be the morning show instead of the evening shows. Our morning shows are longer, number one. They are more fluid and they allow for that good news to kind of work its way into the forecast. Every newscast wants to also have good news. If you're trying to get into an evening newscast, you're trying to get in the kicker probably. So that's the last little tidbit that gets shown right before they say goodbye. And usually it's something light and fun to kind of wrap up the show and not leave people with that bad taste in their mouth of that everything is doom and gloom, you know? So it's the, I don't know, it's the universe, the kids from the University of Hawaii that I think this is what it was yesterday, actually, because I am on the news, that won in Las Vegas with their driverless remote control car or something, you know, so it's something that is intriguing, but not necessarily a news story, but can be fun. And, you know, people are like, oh, that's cool. Right. So you kind of want to be in that category of like, oh, that's cool. So if you're going for the evening newscast, it would be something small like that. So there's several different things that you can do. One thing is make it easy for us. So how do you make it easy or the reporter or the producer or the anchor to have you on the show? One way is to offer up your expertise as something that, and you can link this to current events. So what's going on right now and how can you help someone to solve that problem? And this is something that you've thought about a lot. All business leaders do. So you probably already know the answer to that question. So let's say that you're a life consultant, and it happens to be January, you know, send out your press release and and explain the things that you would be able to say on the air. Now, keep in mind that you're probably going to get at most 3 minutes of time. So a 3 minute interview. So you don't want to overwhelm the press release with all the things you know. You want to give them bullet points. So here's a paragraph, you know, so get good at writing press releases. Here's a paragraph about what I do. Here's what I can tell you on the newscast. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullet points. Here is a little bit about me and my background. And then provide assets, so media assets like video, a headshot, you know, just whatever you think they might be able to use on the newscast. We definitely need visuals. So if you're talking about, so let's go with that life coach analogy, right? And so it's like, oh, here are the 5 things that you can do to have a great year this year. And you have B-roll of one of your coaching clients exercising, right? And that's number one is exercise. So you send them a 15-second clip of, you know, someone exercising. Sure, we could go through our files and find the B-roll video of exercise, but you giving me that piece of video and appropriately naming it so that when I bring all of this video into my system, it's like exercise, organizing, you know, whatever it is, then I can then have the editor, you know, go ahead and put those together. I know exactly when to push the button to play the B-roll when you're talking. So you actually help yourself by doing all of those things. I fall in this trap as a reporter. You know, I've done live interviews and I haven't given enough B-roll, or I just sent a link. So this just happened to me and it was so mortifying. Oh my gosh. So they interviewed me about my podcast. I have a podcast called The Communication Podcast. So I created a whole press release and everything. I sent it to them, but I just had a link to the media and I could have cut it down to exactly what I wanted them to show. So my media assets has like 12 folders with my 12 different episodes and each of the people within them, you know? And so I realized that, okay, well, I should probably have taken that myself, cut the video myself, because when I saw it later, I saw that it was totally zoomed in, that the sound played. So I would have like silenced the sound so that you couldn't hear the sound, because I'm speaking, like I'm being interviewed, and then they play the B-roll and the sound is going, you know? So there's all these little things that you can kind of cut down on to make sure that your interview will sound and look good. And that's how you get it picked up, is by doing all of that legwork ahead of time. And once you do it once, you're good, you know, and it's really easy to find the email addresses too. So you just go to the, like, who are your local reporters? Who are your local television stations? And go to their website and you can find the email for, you know, the morning anchor, or, you know, watch the news, right? And go, oh, okay, that's the guy that does the interviews about this kind of stuff. You can email that person directly and say, hey, are you interested in this with your press release and all the thing? Wait for their response. If this person is like, doesn't respond, or, you know, is like, oh, I just can't, don't take that as a no, because they have their own beat, right? Like they make their own decisions. Now go ahead and send it to the newsroom or the producer. And then it has another shot at maybe being picked up. I don't know. I have so much advice. Do you have a question within
now,
all of
now,
that?
Now there's an interesting point there, Malika. You pointed out that any news organization does not unilaterally reject you. It might be the person that you're talking to, that's just not their beat, or that doesn't interest them, but there might be someone else within the organization who you can approach, and it's perfectly okay to approach other people within the organization with your message and seeing where it resonates.
Oh, totally.
And so what I'm hearing, one, is that people in business, experts, leaders are still important to the media. even if it's only 3 minutes. And the way to start that connection is with the news release, the press release, the news release. That still works, but there's a science in writing that and preparing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, for sure. And you want to hook them, right? So you want to make sure your email subject line is interesting. You want to make sure that in those first couple of sentences that you are telling them what you can offer the newscast.
Here's an angle that you haven't thought of, or here's an angle that builds on something you did last week.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's probably a good approach. Look for other similar messages, or maybe even contrasting messages. You might be like, last week you talked about this, but here's another whole different way to look at that issue.
Would that correct? Yes, I think that probably would be the easier route to go. If it's too similar to something they did last week, this happens to me all the time. I'll tell my assignment editor, oh, what about this? And they're like, oh, we did something kind of like that already. And then I get shot down. That doesn't mean that next month I might not be able to do it. So especially for your audience that's trying to get their intended message out, and this might be just a message that isn't timely, right? It's a message that is just something they, through their life, that they'd like to get out, then you could do it. You could redo that press release and take another angle next month, right? Or you could even pitch it as like a series. The news stations aren't completely opposed to something like that. You know, you could become an expert that comes on regularly. So you want to try to pitch it in the way, you know, or get on, right? And then if they really like it and it really feels good, maybe now you can follow up with a, hey, if you guys would like to do this once a month or once a week, I could give you da 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 da. So just like in the newsroom, every single day at 10 a.m., there's a meeting where we go over all of the pitches. And these are pitches that come from reporters about actual news stories, right? And it's generally for the evening newscast. But for the mornings, a lot of times we're trying to fill time. And so if we get great feedback, now I'm having ideas. So if you can get your friends to email the news at whatever the news station email is, because that email goes to everybody in the news organization. If you can get your people to email in and say, hey, wow, thank you so much for that segment by da 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 this morning. I learned da 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 da. I would so love to see more of that. It doesn't go on deaf ears. I mean, I can't tell you. If you guys didn't listen to the last podcast that we did, that I did with George, where we talked about 20% of the people love you, 20% of the people hate you, and then the ones in the middle are indifferent, the indifferent ones never email the news. The haters do. And the lovers, ooh, I wish they did more, right? And so when we get one of those emails, the news director legit will send that out to everyone and say, look, guys, we did such a great job. And just know that when you're doing your job, people like Eddie appreciate it. And so I can't tell you how much that could actually influence whether or not you, as this expert, hopefully you're really good at what you're doing, right? And you are good on camera, and it's something that definitely helps, right? I mean, if this is in your wheelhouse and you can talk in sound bites and you've got a really great pitch, I don't see why they wouldn't say yes to something like that. And when you have your peeps, your squad, you know, emailing in to say, hey, that was great, that could help.
So get your friends, your fans to vouch for you. Because the media notices when people write, the media probably gets enough nasty messages and not enough encouraging messages. So when they do get encouraging messages, hey, we're doing something good. Maybe we should do more of that.
Yeah. Good. And don't overwhelm them though, right? I mean, you don't want to ask, like, don't put it on social media and then they get 50 emails, right? Be strategic.
Now let's assume that the expert has been accepted to appear on television. How do they prepare? What should they do?
All right, preparing. Well, you're probably going to want to listen back to the last episode I did with George on Your Intended Message, where we talk about how Zoom is similar to television. And in fact, these days you might be doing a Zoom interview for television. So they're two completely different things to prepare for. If you are in an area where the COVID regulations allow for in-person interviews again, well, then totally different than the Zoom, right? That would be really, you know, I like to kind of get in my body and just shake out all of my nerves. There are some things you can do, like I stiffen my entire body like this. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see me like to the point where I'm almost shaking. And then I release and I try to take deep breaths. I remind myself that people want to hear my message. Just be yourself. People want to hear your message. If you mess up, laugh it off or just repeat. We've already done this several times in this podcast. Just repeat yourself. It's okay. We're human. We're all human. And then get familiar with your message. You know, I mean, it is coming from you. It's great to be off the cuff. This interview is off the cuff. So get in touch with your message and really know your stuff. If you need to, practice until it seems like you haven't practiced at all, but you'll be fine. And just know that it flows. It could be a little bit different depending on the reporter or anchor, right? So it might be useful to listen to that anchor or reporter interviewing someone else and possibly on something that's similar to what your message is. It doesn't have to be the same, you know, exact thing, but let's say like something light. Right. So, oh, okay. Like this is the way that it goes. If that person sent you questions, then they're probably going to stick to them. You know, I mean, they prepared themselves as well. So if they sent you the questions, just be prepared to answer the questions, you know, or to lead into the next question even. Right. So there's a lot of things that you can do. You could also just wing it if you're really good. If you know yourself and you know that like, well, that's where I shine is just being in person with someone and just answering their questions as they come out. Because you also have to be prepared for that interviewer to ask you a question that you're not prepared for. So go with the flow, make eye contact with that person. One thing that is a little bit unnerving and that people that are being interviewed sometimes do a little too much of is they look into the camera. And I know that sounds weird, but that's the in-person part, right? So if I'm here and I'm interviewing with John and he keeps looking at the camera, it's a little weird because I'm speaking to you. So I would do more of leaning towards only looking at the person who's interviewing you than looking only at the camera. If you have to, you can, or you feel comfortable, you can do the majority talking to the person on the side, answering their questions. And then when they look at the camera, that's when you can look at the camera. That's when it feels natural and like, okay to do. And of course, when you look into the camera, smile, you know, I mean, give some personality. Like, let's say it's just at the end of the interview. Oh, thank you so much, John. All right. We'll be back after the break, right? Take that opportunity to give your personality, right? So look into the camera and smile and not, you know, you can give that kind of energy through the lens at that moment. Flip it over to Zoom. Total opposite almost, right? You need to look directly into the camera because that is your audience. And people are going to be seeing most likely the anchor reporter and you, or just you. So you're either talking to the reporter or directly to the audience. Both of those require you to look into the camera. So if you're preparing for a Zoom interview, you can have your notes on your screen even, which is especially for someone like me, like I like to sound intelligent and like I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, like I said, this one is off the cuff. So I probably have way more you knows and likes and all of that. But during my podcast interviews, I like to script everything because it's a very different platform. A podcast, you're just listening, right? But when you're watching someone, you get to see all of their expressions and you let go of all of the fillers and all of that, right? But when it's a podcast, we tend to even go when we edit, you know this, George, we'll take out your ums here and there, you know, not all of them because it is natural for someone to have those filler words, but we do some cutting, right? And so when you're on Zoom, you have the opportunity to do that. And you could actually write out your, whatever the answer is to that question you know they're going to ask. Just know that you have to practice to the point of it being, it seeming like it's unpracticed. So if I was reading something right now, I would have to speak it like I am right now, right? With the pauses, with the inflections. I can't sound like I'm reading. So a good thing to do would be to maybe record yourself ahead of time, answering those questions, critique yourself, bring in your partner, your kids, whoever. Hey, how does this sound? How does it look? How can I be better? So, I mean, these are all things that you can above and beyond, but especially if it's your first interview ever, why not prepare and try to sound exactly the way that you want to sound? I mean, this is your intended message, right? The keyword is intended. The people might not see your intended message because of your delivery. So if you can practice your delivery and have other people critique you and tell you, oh yes, what you intended is what I felt, or oh my God, no, that needs to change, then take that in.
Malika, would you suggest to a guest who's about to be interviewed that as well as preparing, you know, if they've received the questions, they can prepare the questions themselves, but should they also think about what is the message that they intend to deliver, that is the main message that may or may not be captured in the questions, that they prepare a way to deliver that message as part of a segue type of, to make it fit? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately with news, sometimes you don't get, that one thing I wanted to say, oh, I didn't get to say it, right? And that is a very common problem, let's say, quote unquote. What I do on my podcast is I try to think about the audience. And I try to think also about the person that I'm interviewing and the fact that they want to get across their intended message. And so I work that into my, as an interviewer, I work that into my interview, where at the end of my podcast, I will ask, is there anything else that you would like to say that we didn't quite get at, or would you like to add to that? And a long form format like that allows for it. And so it is a wonderful space to be able to then have that person say either, no, gosh, we got to everything, or yes, actually, and then say that thing that they have prepared, that's their tagline or the thing they really want to say, right? On the news, you might not have that opportunity. And so, I mean, I guess I've never really thought about this, but I guess if I had to give advice about that, it would be either if you feel comfortable with that reporter or anchor to say, hey, I would really like to at least get this out, then that would up your chances. Either they could just ask you that question, or they could do something similar to what I do on my podcast where they could say, is there anything else you'd like to say? And that can be your last thing. And also you can help us by saying it's 15 seconds long, right? It's 30 seconds long, because you need to know that I'm hearing my producer in my ear who's saying 1 minute, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, or last question, right? And so if I can tell my producer ahead of time, hey, I want you to know that the last question is a 30-second answer. And then I'm just going to say, I'm going to throw it to break, right? So if I can tell my producer that ahead of time, and also it makes me more comfortable. Now, you as the interviewee need to stick to that, right? Makes it easier when it's on Zoom. You could have the whole thing written out. You've timed it. You know it's 30 seconds. Yes, actually, John, just one last thing. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you so much for having me on, right? Now you're even helping them to wrap. Well, thank you so much, John, for being on the show. All right, guys, we'll be back right after the break. So there are all of these things that you could do.
So a really star of a guest is someone who does their homework and thinks about, okay, what will make it easier for the reporters in interviewing me? What can I do that they'll feel so good when we're done, they'll want me to come back?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, for sure. I have a friend, she happens to be my best friend, but she's very linked to the community. She organizes this program called Kaukau for Kiki. Kaukau means eat in Hawaiian. And it's a program that helps to feed hungry children across Maui County when school isn't in session. And I've had her on every year. And even that feels like a lot. You know, I don't do that many interviews. I'm remote. You know, I choose my own things. And every time I've pitched it, it's been accepted. And every time afterwards, people are like, oh, that was so good, because she's such a great interview. She doesn't just have great content. She knows her stuff. Because she knows it like the back of her hand. One is in person. The other one that I did was over Zoom. And in both, she's very eloquent. You can tell that she's speaking to you. The one thing I probably, and she asked me ahead of time, and I don't know, I didn't give her my intended message. She was like, Malika, do I look into the camera or not? And I was like, oh, you can do it intermittently. And so she literally was like, da, 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 da. Da 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 da, you know. And I mean, we're in the interview, so I can't say anything, but she's a great orator. And so it wasn't like totally awkward, right? Like it's still, you still were engaged and everything, but you can tell how maybe if she just looked at me, you know, a little bit more, that would have felt more natural. But she's fabulous, you know. So I would, if she wanted to do a regular thing and she was an expert on something, she is someone that we would likely be like, oh yeah, totally. We can rely on her.
Malika, you mentioned your podcast, Communification, Communification Podcast. that's a word that one's got to practice saying a few times. Tell us a little bit about what you cover there and what people will gain from listening to your podcast.
It is a mouthful. There have been many moments where I'm like, why did I name it that? But it was hard to create podcast art. It's such a long word. You know, I mean, just it runs the gamut. But, you know, I looked up online words that would get at what my vision is for the podcast. And this word stood out because it's a word in the Urban Dictionary that means the beautification of communication and also the unification of community. And those are the two things that I hope to do with my podcast. And from, you know, the reviews that have been posted on Apple Podcasts, we've only been out for a few months and more than 160 five-star reviews. And I feel like we're doing it. And this has been a passion project for me. I went back to school after 17 years in, I am still in the media industry, where I pivoted from communicology, which is the scientific study of human communication, to meteorology. I dropped my master's program and I went right into getting my certification for broadcast meteorology, a three-year program, intense three-year program at Mississippi State, actually. And then I never looked back. But it was always this thing in the back of my head, not just that I didn't finish what I started, which was a little bit of it, but also that I was so passionate about the science of human communication. You know, when I would walk into a classroom, it would have kids from all walks of life, all different majors. And once we started talking about these topics, everyone lit up. Everyone could relate. Everyone could gain something, a nugget to take back and to apply to their own lives. And I feel like a lot of that information is paywalled in academic journals and it really doesn't get out there. And we're talking about news and how, you know, I mean, 3 minutes is like a lot. For the most part, if you're listening to a story or what we call a package, it's going to be 90 seconds. How do you get this kind of information out in 90 seconds? It really does need to be long form. And so that was my goal, to not have this be paywalled or be stripped of all of the juiciness, you know, that we can learn and grow from. And so I interview the experts and they teach us about what they've learned through their research when it comes to communication, all kinds of topics from body image to cyberbullying to apologizing. I mean, it really runs the gamut. Collective action. How do we use social media for collective action? And then I have a guest on the show and we talk about how do we actually use these strategies and what are our actual struggles? And I think that helps people to feel less alone as well.
Powerful. Sounds like a podcast worth listening to more than once. Malika, in wrapping up, if you could offer one, two, or three pieces of advice to business and community leaders who are doing innovative things in their organization, and then it's a good news story that's worth sharing, how might they share that news? What would be the best approach for them to share through the media?
Get clear on your message, number one. So know exactly what you want to say and how you want to say it. And then how do you want to say it, right? So you're also going to have to not just say it when you hopefully get on the news, but you want to show it, right? So get that video. Make sure you have that video vault of showing what you actually do, right? You could even, and this is something we didn't mention in the podcast yet, but you could get sound bites even. So that video could include a 15-second sound bite of a child that you've impacted and how you've impacted them, or a client saying, I've tried Mel Robbins, is it? She just came up with like high five thing. You know, I tried the high five thing and this is how it changed my life, right? So have that as a soundbite. And I mean, reporters gobble that up because I could maybe not even have you on the show. I could interview you and then I can package that. So I can take what you said and these little tidbits that you sent me of sound bites of other people talking about, and now you're curating it. So you know that this person could show up to your event, sure. And they could interview random people. You don't have a lot of control over that. But with COVID, there's a silver lining where you could control the message a little bit more, maybe get your intended message out, right? And so you can get your little sound bites. Make sure they're short. 10, 15 seconds tops, add that into your little suite of assets that you can send in. And then it's all about connections. You just need to reach out and start a relationship with people that are on the news. Watch the news so that you can tell them, hey, I really appreciate you. I mean, that goes a long way. Tell me you like me.
Powerful tips, Malika. My guest today is Malika Dudley, reminding you to work on the beautification of your communication.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.